threat save. When I got revelation to go to Canada, when I got back, I got a sales call. Not a sales call. I got a business that was waiting for me the next day. That wasn't a coincidence. Because Yao had me take care of his 97-year-old daughter. People are forgetting about. The same mind picture of the guy sitting in the corner, this tall Asian guy all by himself. Sad, right? But if he was studying the Word and cracking a code, I wish you guys could have saw my excitement when I figured something out. You play Sudoku? You play video games by yourself and you break through something? Yeah! Even if some of the stuff that I got to research, if I didn't get to share with anybody, I would have been excited. That same guy could have had his Bible out and a thesaurus, or not thesaurus, but a concordance or anything, breaking down the Hebrew word. There's always more. Hebrews 4:12 says, Yahweh's word is alive. This thing is a living book. It's alive and it's energetic. You need energy to get going the right direction. You need wind in yourself. Speak his word. It's alive. This guy could have been over there cracking the code going, what is this Hebrew word? What is, and I believe that's what E.W. Bolger did. You see books everywhere. Why? Study to show yourself approved. And who is going to be with him studying those scriptures with him? I mean, E.W. Bolger found out there's 4 crucified with Christ. When we got to learn that, how excited were we? We didn't crack the code. He could have been 98 years old going, oh my goodness, oh, who am I going to tell? Who cares? Because we think about that. Every once in a while you think, oh, I have nobody with me. I got to stand out. I got to be a Tim Tebow. I don't have any friends. I want to blend in. You're going to have that the rest of your life. I don't want to put a bumper sticker on my car now. So you're going to have that. Who did Adam have?
Eve.
Is it? One. Hit the horn. He's all by himself, all by himself, all by himself. Here's Eve. Well, how about Noah? He was all by himself. He was by himself. So whether you're in a corner, wherever you are, you're with Yahweh. And that's the point of the whole thing. Whether people are with you or not, study the Word. So search the Scriptures. Luke 8:9, the disciples came to Jesus Christ and they said, what does this mean? You guys don't have to turn it off. Actually, you can turn to Proverbs. Well, actually, you can turn to page 66 in the Greek manuscripts. But the disciples, and a lot of this was stimulated from Dad's teaching. Jesus Christ taught in parables so people wouldn't understand him. He taught in riddles. Because it's not for the lazy. It's not for the people that aren't going to pursue him. Because the scripture says, be seeking, be asking, be knocking. If you're not seeking, you're not asking, you're not knocking. It's not that hard. If you're a teacher, you have some people, oh, it's a teacher's pet. Then you got some guy, he didn't care if he gets a deer or not. You don't waste too much time with a deer. Yeah, that's fine. But Luke 8, 9, but somebody read that. Who's over there?
I think I am here. But his disciples began to question him, what might this very parable be? How far do you want?
That's it right there.
Okay.
They go, what does this mean? And so pointing the finger at myself, how many times I've read something, it didn't make any sense, you know what I did? I'm not going to keep doing that. If it doesn't make sense, right? I can't understand that, so I just set the book aside. What do the disciples say? What does it mean? What does this mean? I think about, as I was doing this teaching, I think about Izzy and Shauna with their birthday presents and their birthday weeks giving hints and riddles. And it set some stuff out. And look left. And if Shauna might hit, I could imagine that if Shauna hit something in the bookshelf, she might pull one book out just a little bit. So you notice it. And then they, oh, there it is. You guys ever do that? Leave a little bit of a hint? Yahweh leaves hints for us all. And he's not begging us. You got this one life. It's but a vapor. And it'll be gone. I got to meet a 198-year-old lady. She was the most cheerful person in the whole place. She glowed. What did you do with it? But with these hints, with these scriptures, what does it mean? What does it not mean? Proverbs 25:1-6:29. So here's hints. And if you don't want it, that's fine. But we will regret it. You will regret not pursuing it. I did that in school. It wasn't until my junior year in high school I eased by. I didn't want to do it. I really didn't want to learn it. And guess what happened when we got the grades? I was embarrassed. Oh, of course, all right, cool. But when I finally applied myself my junior year in high school and I got the honor roll slip, And somebody was going to throw mine in the trash because all the guys I was hanging around, they got the, you know, and my son's an honor roll. I was hanging around these smart kids. They're throwing theirs in the trash. They go, here, let me take you out. I'll show you what to do with it. That guy was going through the wall because I earned it. I didn't regret it. What are you going to do with this life? Yahweh wants you to earn it. How does that feel with that 120-foot throw? You earned it. Now remember that when he's asking you to do something difficult, because you wanted to quit, right? You wanted to not try. Don't even set yourself up. Everybody's watching. Don't even try. I can see other kids. I would have done the same thing because I wasn't good at it. But look what you earned. And that's what this life's all about. What did you earn? What did you learn? Proverbs 25:1. Would somebody read that real quick?
These also are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, transcribed.
I'm sorry, verse 2. What? The glory of Elohim is to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings is to search things out. You can imagine people, Izzy and Shauna, do scavenger hunts, and if somebody woke up on their birthday and they're grumpy and they're not going to look hard, do you know what I would do? Oh, you're definitely not getting that. Oh, I guess you didn't find it. Wait till they walk off it. I take it and be like, that's going right back. I got a receipt. How many times has Yahweh taken our blessings back and got a receipt? That's how you start each day and go, okay. All of us have a war. We have our old man. The enemy's not your parents. The enemy's not your spouse. The enemy's not your grandparents. This is our enemy. You've got to win this battlefield right here. But you got to go, Yahweh has things concealed for us, but it's the glory of kings to search them out. Now we're going to start off with an easy riddle. It's not really a riddle, but it's not. But Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, page 35. Something easy, and we're not going the direction you guys might think we're going.
Would you tell me again?
Page 35.
Genesis what?
225.
Chapter 2, verse 18.
Oh, sorry.
Now, it'd be good for the adults or the people that know the answers to these questions. Don't answer it. If you're an adult and you don't know the answer, speak up. It's easier for the kids. So all of us, we're here to learn. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that man should remain alone. I will make him for him a helper as a counterpart. Now Yahweh, skip down to verse 21. So Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And Yahweh Elohim builded the rib which he had taken from the man into the woman, and he brought her unto the man. And he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman. Who was created first, Isaiah?
Man.
The man? Because it shows that right there, the woman, right? The woman came second, the rib. And if you just read that, and that's actually what almost all Christendom teaches. Genesis, listen, one chapter before, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Isaiah, would you read that?
Chapter 1, verse 26.
And Yahweh said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have domination over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the tame beasts, and over all the land, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the land.
And Elohim created the man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. What's the next two words? Three words.
Male and female created
he. Genesis 1 says he created twins at the same time. And then you talk to most Christians, they're going to go, Genesis 2 says, no, he came before. What do we got? We got a contradiction. You know what we have here?
Mystery.
A riddle. It's a riddle. Figure it out. What does this mean? How could this be? And for most of us, and I'm probably the most guilty here, I don't know what it means. I don't care. But you got to go. Remember, Jesus Christ in Matthew 4:6, the adversary says, it is written. He quotes Psalms 91, trying to get Yehoshua to throw himself down because he says Yahweh won't let him dash his foot. But Yehoshua said, it is also written. How many times, you guys got to be remembering, you're being prepared for battle. David didn't know he's going to be going before Goliath. A lot of times we're thinking about, hey, I don't know if I need to do this or not. Yahweh knows when you're going to be going through some big stuff. You might have to resurrect somebody you love, covered in blood. You might have to pull a dead body out of a lake. Oh, I don't know. He knows. I'm thankful he doesn't tell us in advance. But what is he actually preparing you for your faith? What is it going to be? I don't know. But it's up to us to be seeking these things out. But right here, if we read it, somebody said, well, Eve was created second. We'd be able to say, it is also written. He created twins. Well, then what? This book just disproved itself. No, because if you keep reading chapter 2, Dad's one to point this out. It starts talking about bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Verse 24, for this cause will a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. The second occurrence must be an explanation of marriage. Chapter 2 is most likely the wedding. Oh! But you don't get it if you don't work for it, right? Does it specifically say that? No, it doesn't. But we definitely know what it does not say. Okay. So that we just cracked a little bit of an easy riddle there. And here's another really easy riddle. Turn to Genesis chapter 6, and then we'll go to something more advanced. And this is a great exercise for anybody to get them into the Word. You could say that to an adult. You say, who was created first, the man or the woman? They say, the woman, you say, do you know where it is? They probably don't know. You have Google. It showed Genesis 2. Then you go, it is also written. And how much would that bless an adult? You met Todd Carter. You directing Todd Carter a pathway on Todd, it is also written, twins were created in Genesis 1. No, it doesn't. And then you show this grown man running a whole church. He never even holy smokes. Do you think that gets somebody's attention?
Yeah.
Do you know who else did that about your age?
No.
Jesus Christ. That gets people's attention when a 12 or 13 year old does that? Chapter 6, verse 19. How many cows were on the ark? Would somebody read verse 19?
I will. Moreover, of all the living creatures of all flesh, two of each shall you bring in the ark to keep alive with thee, male and female, shall they be.
Okay. How many were on the ark? Well, you guys know this one. It's going to be hard for this. Anybody that's watching, what is this? What does it say? Two. If you don't keep reading, you don't get the rest of it. It's almost like he's kind of setting this up. You ever see this with parents? We'll do it when we're coaching football. We'll teach them, this means this, this means this, this means this, and then we'll set them up for something that doesn't mean this. And then this means, no, it does not. You weren't thinking. This means that. Oh, you set me up. Yeah, that's what a good teacher does. Verse chapter 7, verse 2. Would somebody read that? Elijah, would you read that?
Yeah. Of all the clean beasts shall it take to thee, by sevens, a male and a female, and of the beasts that are not clean shall be two, a male and his female.
He can say, you're not going to get it. You want to know who Yahweh is? He's going to make you work for it. Izzy and Sean are celebrating their 16th anniversary, and I'm sure at some point, when my brother was pursuing my sister-in-law, she made him work for it. I guarantee you she did. But you know what happened when he had to work for her affection? You should have saw the biggest chest guy. Yeah! I saw my brother, the big Harley Davidson, John Wayne, teeth whitening gum, putting gel on his hair, getting his truck. He's got cologne on. I'm like, is that foo-foo water? And that's what he would call it. And all of a sudden, what did she do? He had to work for it. Here's Yahweh going, you want to know who I am? Yahweh goes, you want to know who I am? Really? Okay, but no, you don't. I own everything. These people talk about this black hole out there. They don't even know what numbers mean. Billions and trillions and millions. Where's this calculator? There is no end to Yahweh. It's bigger than you could ever imagine. That Elohim wants to know you, and he gives you an introduction each day. You want to know who I am? And one day, and he'll reward you. The purpose of your life is to pursue Yahweh. Not the people around you, like Adam did, like David with Bathsheba. Just pursue him. And if you get that one thing right, you're figuring out this vapor. And guess what? He will reward you. So those are easy ones. Now we're going to get to what gets me excited. Why did Yahweh do that? He wants us to work for our education. He wants us to earn it. Something more difficult. We're going to go to chapter... Let me see. Oh, I'm going to need a volunteer to read chapter 5:32. You guys can take a turn, maybe.
Genesis?
Yeah. chapter 5, verse 32 of Genesis.
And Noah was five.
It's going to go through chapter 6, 22. So it's going to give us the whole story.
And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It came to pass when men had begun to multiply in the face of the ground, and daughters had been born to them, that the sons of Yahweh Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, so they took to themselves wives of whomever they chose. And Yahweh said, My spirit, or my ruach, shall not rule in man to time's age abiding, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. The giants were in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of Elohim began to go in under the daughters of men, and sons, were born to them, the same were the heroes that were from age past times, the men of renown. Then Yahweh saw that great was the wickedness of man in the earth, and that every purpose of the devices of his heart was only wicked all the day. And it grieved Yahweh that he had made man in the earth, and he took sorrow unto his heart. And Yahweh said, I must wipe off man whom I created from off the face of the ground, from man unto beast, unto creeping things, and unto the bird of the heavens, for I am grieved that I made them. But Noah had found favor in the eyes of Yahweh. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generations. God did Noah walk. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth corrupted itself before... Is that Elohim? And the earth was filled with violence, and Elohim beheld the earth, and lo, it had corrupted itself. Surely all flesh had corrupted its way on the earth. So Elohim said unto Noah, The end of all flesh hath come in before me, for filled is the earth with violence. Because of them, behold me then, destroying them from the earth. Make for thee an ark of timbers of gopher. Room shalt thou make with the ark, and thou shalt cover it within and without with pitch. And this is how thou shalt make it. 300 cubits the length of the ark, 50 cubits the breadth thereof, and 30 cubits the height thereof. A place for light thou shalt make to the ark, and to a cubit shalt thou finish it upwards. And the opening of the ark in the side thereof shalt thou put with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And I, behold me, bringing in the flood, even waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the ruach of life from under the heavens. Everything that is in the earth shall cease to breathe. Therefore will I establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt enter into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Moreover, all of the living creatures of all flesh, two of each shalt thou bring in unto the ark to keep alive with thee. Male and female shall they be. Of the bird after its kind, and of the beast after its kind, and of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of each shalt come in unto thee for keeping alive. But thou take to thee all of all the food that is eaten, and gather it unto thee, and it shall be for thee and for them for food. And Noah did so according to all that Elohim commanded him. So did he.
Thank you, Mom. That's a lot of reading. Isn't she a good reader?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, excellent. Now, okay, so that's the story of Noah. Now, this teaching is going to be cracking a code. There's a code in there. I'll give you a couple of examples before we go there. Now, you're not going to... I wanted a whiteboard, but I don't have one yet. So I'm going to put a sentence. Okay. Can you read that, kids?
No.
No.
Okay. There was a mark with a small m in the room. What does that mean, if there was a mark in the room?
A strange man in the house.
Not a capital M.
It was like a
mark on the wall.
Yeah.
That's what that means. If I change that small lowercase m to an uppercase m, does it change the sentence?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
It's
Mark's in the room.
There's a person in the room. There is no uppercase or lowercase in the Greek or the Hebrew. So when we see upper and lower cases, it can change the whole sentence. And sometimes that happens. And so cracking the code is Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, and this is not according to E.W. Bollinger. E.W. Bollinger has a whole other theory. Because in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, we read through something. What does it say? Chapter 6, let me see here. Verse 3, and Yahweh said, "My Ruah shall not rule in man to time's age abiding, for he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years." Okay, now I set you guys up going into this, right? With Adam and Eve, the ark. What does that appear? What does that mean? And this is not E.W. Bollinger. So this is different what the E.W. Bollinger said. What do you think that means? If the man's... His days shall be 120.
Shortening the lifespan.
Okay. So they're going to live 120 years?
Most.
Okay. E.W. Bollinger is going to say that the word man is the same word as Adam. It's the same Hebrew word. E.W. Bollinger goes, wait a minute. Okay, well, I guess before we go there, we have an apparent contradiction. Because in Genesis chapter 6, excuse me, in chapters, let me see, 7 verse 6, Noah was 600 years old when he built the ark. We turn the page, chapter 9 verse 28. We turn the page, and what does 9 verse 28 say? Hey, Eli.
28?
Yeah.
And Noah lived after the flood 350 years.
Okay, can it mean that man's life's going to be shortened by 120 years?
No.
Well, maybe it wasn't Noah. Maybe Noah was an exception. Because it does not mean what it looked like it meant. Yahweh's trying to teach us. How many times did Peter deny Jesus Christ?
Three.
That's what it appears. But that is a really advanced one. He denied Jesus Christ three times, twice. He denied Jesus Christ six times. And you won't get it unless you work for it. And so E.W. Bollinger found that one out. And so then right here you're going to say, well, it does not mean Noah lived 120 years. And who knows the word? Does Satan know the word adversary?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think if you guys never had that pointed out that he might use that to go, you can't trust anything in this thing, right? We would also look at, but remember, Yahweh's teaching us. Abraham, see, in Genesis 12, how long did he live? I thought I had it wrote down.
Noah 950.
Yeah, but he lived 130 years after, more than, he didn't live just 350 years.
900.
No, Noah, after the 120, Noah lived another 120, and then he lived 350. So the 120, that's not math. Abraham, who was a lot long after Noah, lived 175 years. So Kenneth Copeland will say that means that man can live 120 years, but he's not looking at the whole full context. It does appear that way, but he's not getting it. Because Abraham lived 175, and guess what? A lot of other people lived past 175. I think it was Abraham's father was like 200 years old. Not that Abraham was old. He goes, that's nothing. You should have saw my dad's birthday cake. Huh. But now, so what does it mean? Well, who cares? Well, then you're not going to get it. Be seeking, be asking, be knocking. E.W. Bollinger, what he says, and that's not what the teaching is going to be on, is that the word man is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, could be translated Adam. And he's going to say that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, that you could just as easily translate Adam's life is going to be shortened to 120 years. He's going to die in 120 years. Which, if you look at E.W. Bollinger's timeline, it all adds up. He dies 120 years after that, which kind of makes sense. And if you look at other timelines, it looks about the same thing. But is that what it means? Now, I'll give you a hint. What does Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 mean? In the word as you read. Got a highlighter? Got to pause for that. She's doing a teaching about digging, seeking, and seeking. Yeah, we'll take a second break. We can edit that later. Great job, Mel.
I'm sorry, I thought you meant pencil.
My teachers would say, you want to know who's paying attention in class? Who's taking notes?
Yeah.
I was usually doodling, trying not to fall asleep. He's taking notes. That counts. Oh, everything is not chronological. Well, one of the things that's going to get really confusing, you start reading this, it says Abraham, Adam lived 960 years, so-and-so lived 450 years, and we're thinking that these times are on top of each other. They're not. They overlap. They're overlapping. This person lived this year, well, this person lived 400 years, but yeah, he was born halfway through this life. So it's not quite as easy. He doesn't make it that easy. It's not kindergarten Christianity. Another thing, if you know the answer to this, so I'm getting into the hints, not everything is chronological in the Word. There's riddles. There's things you have to work for. Samuel and Samson. Okay, you know who they are?
Yeah.
Okay. If you know the answer to this, don't say anything. Who came first? Chronologically. Well, how would you know that? Well, here's a hint. Samson was in the book of Judges. Samuel's in the book of Samuel. Say the books of the Bible. Go ahead.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus,
Numbers,
Deuteronomy,
Joshua,
Judges, 1st and 2nd Samuel.
So does Judges come before Samuel? Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel. So if Samson's in Judges and Samuel's in the book of Samuel, who came first?
Samson.
No. They're about the same time. They're happening about the same time. But if you read it, you don't understand that, you're going to go, no, so Samson came out. I didn't know that either. Alfred Edersheim's going to point that out. Then Dad started pointing out other things about the minor prophets. You see these books in these orders, go, we think it's chronological. It's not chronological. This kingdom's happening here. This is happening here. And actually, sometimes you have three different books all happening. You have Jeremiah's here. Then you got Daniel here. Wait a minute. I can't understand all this. Think about it. You got like two screens over here on this front and on this front. Here's Yahweh teaching all this. And you're not going to get it if you're not going to work for it. So that's going to be the hint. So not everything is in chronological order. So now we're going to get back to Noah. What's going on with all this? When did Noah start building the box? And I'm going to challenge everybody, start calling it a box. I bought a timeline. It's supposed to teach you about the Word, and it's garbage everywhere. And it says when Noah started building the ship. It's not a ship. It's a box. It's the same sort of box that Moses would put in. The ark. They call it a box. But when did Noah start building the box? I used to think it was 80 years. I don't know where I got that. I was talking to somebody else when Yahweh started this thing up. I said, he goes, the person I was talking to, he goes, it took him 80 years, right? I go, that's what I thought. He goes, well, how long did it take? And I go, it doesn't say. Well, how'd you know? I said, it's two chapters. It wasn't that hard. Go back to Genesis 6. When did he start building the box? Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to crack the code. Okay, we're going to look at a little bit a timeline. So we'll see what numbers did he give us here. He doesn't make it easy. How about in chapter 32, chapter 5, verse 32? Who wants to read that? So Yahweh's going to give us some hints. It's not going to make it easy. What's it say? 5:32.
Okay. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Okay. How old was he?
500.
At 500. He's got kids. And their names are always in that order, by the way. Were they born in that order?
I would imagine.
There's another riddle. Okay, now we're going to turn over to chapter 7, verse 5. So we got right here. Kids, 500. Chapter 7, verse 6. What's that say?
And then Noah was 600 years old when the flood came, even waters on the earth.
I'm going to start over. I'm going to do a little bit better. Okay, so we have two time periods here, right? It doesn't make it easy. It's kind of like algebra, huh? Mm. No, that doesn't tell a caveman that. See, even if it's a math that you're never going to use, it's teaching how to problem solve. It's good. Just like this. You use algebra in the Bible. What do we know? And so Dad was always really good about this. How do you figure something out? Well, you might not know what it means. Find out what it's not. Troubleshoot. It's not this, not that. So we got kids at 500, right? At 600, what happens? The flood. Okay. And this is where most everybody gets their time horizon. They go, 500 to 600. He built the ark somewhere in there. And then it also says, it also says chapter 6, verse 18, when Yahweh starts telling him to build the ark, what does he tell him in verse 18? Therefore will I establish my covenant with thee and what?
And I shall enter into the ark, thou and thy sons, and
my sons. So he's got kids, right? He's got kids. He had kids right there. Yahweh talked to him. He said, "All you and your kids are going to go onto this box."
And you're right.
You want to know us about this box and their wives?
Yeah.
You know what this box is? It's the same dimensions of a human body.
What?
You want to know what Noah's box looked like? Imagine a coffin, an old-fashioned coffin. Oh. You think that's a coincidence? That the coffin, which normally would bury somebody, this was a resurrection. You want to know what Noah's box looked like? Just imagine an old-fashioned cowboy coffin. It's the same dimensions.
I think, yeah, the same.
No, it's the same
size.
Length, like what? 6 feet by the width, and then the height. That's not a coincidence. Now, okay, so it looks like it's an open-shut case. The ark was built somewhere in here. We got to say he had to have kids. Maybe 20 years, dad didn't marry, right around 80 years. I didn't know it was all speculative. I didn't know that somebody was guessing on it. I was just quoting somebody else. Okay, that looks like it, right? Well, what about Genesis chapter 6, verse 3? Did we ever resolve Genesis chapter 6, verse 3? So what? What's the 120 years? What does that mean? So what, right? Oh, we would have missed it. The 120 years, it could be. Remember, E.W. Bulger has a good theory. And you know what? Is E.W. Bulger emphatically right? No. But at least he had a theory.
Yeah.
You know how many times people, they don't know what it means or doesn't mean, and they don't even have a theory. That means they don't care about Yahweh and His Word. I guarantee you, E.W. Bulger is going to get a big congratulations for working that out. Here's another theory. The 120 years... was when Yahweh says, the clock has started before I wipe out all men. The 120 years, another theory is, this is when Yahweh says all man is going to be wiped out. And then you read down here, in verse 13, chapter 6, verse 3, and chapter 6, verse 13, could be a part of the same sentence, possibly. It could be that chapter 13, so Elohim said unto Noah, the end of all flesh hath come in before me, for filled is the earth with violence before them. And Noah, by the way, is going to be in 120 years. It's another theory. Noah, everybody's going to get wiped out. When? 120 years. What do? You build a gargantuan box. And how long do you have to build this? 120 years. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It could go either way. Now, it's not chronological. A lot of people aren't going to like that. A lot of the Bible is not chronological. You've got to earn it. So what? Let's look at this thing right here. Because if that's true, we have a 100-year period right here, right? If Yahweh had this meeting, Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 13, and that was part of the same meeting, when did that happen? 20 years over here. So the whole time span is going to be 120 years. And Yahweh had a meeting 20 years before what?
Kids.
Before now, does that change the story that Noah could have been childless when this meeting happened?
Yeah.
That Noah was, how old was he?
480.
He was 500 years old. How many kids does he have?
Three.
He's got zero.
Oh,
I got how many kids? Who's righteous? Noah.
Yeah.
Noah. Judgment's coming. Yeah, I kind of figured that. And then could it be that in verse 18, chapter 6, verse 18, thou and thy sons was a prophecy? Is that a different story? That Noah possibly started building this huge box 20 years before he even had kids?
Yeah, because it says begat.
But you're going to go, wait a minute, this is a whole different story. It kind of sounds like somebody else, doesn't it? Who else was Abraham? Leave your home. Go here, be a father of a multitude. How many kids? He had 25 years, Abraham, before he had kids. 25 years. And then what happened? It's a whole other story. Think about it, because how wicked, everything was so wicked. And here, do you ever feel alone? And here comes Yahweh, possibly Abraham, judgment's coming. You got 120 years to build a box. You're my man. I'm your man. I'm 500 years old. That's right. Get working. Can you imagine building this thing? He and his wife. I don't even have any kids yet. And he possibly had the kids. And the prophecy was he's going to have some kids. You ever had some prophecies that didn't come into fruition? Make you feel helpless a little bit? How do you think Abraham felt when he didn't have any kids? How do you think Noah felt? I'm 500 years old. No kids. Childless. Genesis, a neat thing about this is, Genesis chapter 3. To kind of wrap all this in, we go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. After the adversary says he's going to be crushed. Verse 15, Yahweh says, "An enmity will I put between thee and thy woman." Would somebody else read that for me?
"An enmity will I put between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall crush thy head, but thou shalt crush his heel."
A seed of the woman is going to come and fix all this stuff. And what a neat thing is who's going to fix what happened? Their child. Did Adam and Eve know how long it was going to take? A lot of people believe, they believe it's going to be Cain. He said that your kid's going to have it. Was it Cain? No, it wasn't Cain. It was going to come through Seth, though. In verse 17, here's another hint that Yahweh gave. Mel, would you read that?
"And to the man he said, because thou didst hearken to the voice of thy wife, so didst eat of the tree as which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Accursed be the ground that for thy sake, in pain shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life."
Okay, so Yahweh says the result of you is going to be everything's cursed. You ever seen a snake swallow a baby duck?
Yeah.
You don't have to teach a baby that's wrong. It's innate. We know that there's a problem. And that's where you go, Genesis 3:17. This is the result of Adam and Eve. It will be resolved when the seed of the woman comes. Now, Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, let me see here, Genesis chapter 12, when Yahweh calls him, he calls him away from Ur of the Chaldees, which was called Moon, it was the Moon City. It's where they worshiped the moon. Yahweh called him out of idolatry. They're going to, at least as Alfred Edersheim says, in chapter 3, why is he calling me to go do this thing? Remember, at least in this teaching, the theory is Yahweh called Noah to build a gigantic ark when he didn't have any kids. If that's true, that's a lot of faith. That's even more faith. Don't even have kids. In chapter 3, look to
12:3.
Yeah, 12:3. "That I may bless them who bless thee." Now, somebody else read. I get too excited. Please read that for me.
I will. Just verse 3?
Yeah.
"That I may bless them who bless thee, but him who maketh light of thee will I curse. So shall be blessed in thee all the families of the ground."
Of the ground, the Adame. That is a promise that Genesis 3:17 is going to be turned around. What Abraham would have known is the seed of the woman is going to come through me. No pressure. Wait a minute, Abraham, if you don't have this child, the seed of the woman's not coming from you. Oh, thanks a lot. Right? I remember Sean and Izzy getting pregnant with Ruth. No pressure, right? Was it worth it? Right. But here it is. But right there, E.W. Bullinger points out that Abraham was shown right here that the seed of the woman's coming from you. Remember when Nathan tells David who's going to come from him? Jesus Christ is going to come from the Messiah. David falls down. Who am I? Is it a twofold prophecy? Now, go back to Genesis chapter 5, verse 29. Would you read that, Mom?
Yeah. "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his son Noah, saying, this one shall give us rest from our work and from the grievous toil of our hands, by reason of the ground which Yahweh hath cursed."
What is that? The ground that was cursed. Look at the footnote. What does E say? The footnote E.
Messianical.
Keep reading. Or perhaps might be the woman's promised seed.
As if Noah... This scripture is saying that Noah is the promised seed of Genesis 3 to 17 or 15, or he's going to be the line of the promised seed. I never knew that. E.W. Bulger's one of the point about Abraham. I didn't know that. Then I looked down the footnote and go, oh, it's been there the whole time. No pressure, Noah, except he's 500 years old without kids. Defeated?
Yep.
Gonna go, and then you go, Abraham was called out of Ur of Chaldees, he's 75 years old, you're gonna have some kids. Oh, great. But he did it. And why? Abraham, the Mashiach, Christ Jesus, is gonna come from Abraham. Noah, at least according to this, as we look at what is, somebody says we can't say this or not, then you say, what do you say Genesis 6 verse 3 means? Well, I don't know, I don't care. Well, then I'm not going to engage in conversations with you.
Yeah.
If you don't even have a theory, that's fine. But it could say, but if Noah was called 500 years or 20 years to start building the ark, which would look like a huge coffin, and the promise is going to come from him. Can you imagine that? Golly, how neat would that have been? A neat thing also is it always says Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It's not the order they're born. I won't tell you what the order is. But you would read that, you'd say who was born first and who was born last. That's not the order. So he's got riddles everywhere. So that was... Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, 231. So we look at that and go, golly, it just changes the whole... At least to me, it changes the whole story of what Noah did. It makes me think of him more like Abraham. And actually, maybe Abraham was really relating to Noah. Golly, Noah was 500. He had to build an ark. Took him 20 years. Then here's Abraham goes, what took me 25 years to have you, Isaac? Can you imagine Abraham telling Isaac the story?
Yeah.
Isn't that neat? There's another neat thing about that. They talk about with Abraham that Melchizedek comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Alfred Edersheim believes he's a descendant of the Sethites. Abraham wasn't the only one that worshipped Yahweh. It was just getting really thin. And he comes a flash on the scene and he disappears just like that. Just like John the Baptist. Yeah. How cool is that? You got Melchizedek and John the Baptist. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, having received intimation concerning the things not yet seen, filled with reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And possibly he started all of it when he was childless, just like Abraham. So what is Yahweh calling you or me to do? He's calling us, some of us. Every one of us, he's got a calling to do, to either build an ark, to get pregnant, to go have a child. I was just talking to somebody that somebody prophesied they're supposed to have a kid, and they don't like it. And I'm like, but they keep coming back to this thing about this kid. And they're venting to me. I'm going to go, and say, hey, why are you getting so upset about it? Well, it's putting pressure on it. You're going to go. But if Yahweh stirred something up inside you for you to have an Isaac, or for you to have a Seth. Do you think Noah ever regretted having Seth after he had Seth and he saved everybody? Here's my family, start it all over again. Neither will we. So what does he stir up inside you? Then search the scriptures. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for tonight. We thank you for Israel, Izzy and Shauna's 16th anniversary. And we thank you for the perfect health. And we thank you for Passover and for the death, burial, resurrection. And the anniversary of your son's crucifixion. We thank you for all that you went through, that his mother went through. And we just thank you that he's coming back for us. My sons and my daughters know that I have wonderful things for you. But you got to work for it. I'm not just going to give it to you. Just as any good parent, I want you to earn it. And if you're not going to earn it, I'm not going to give it to you. But I do wait. I do wait for you to humble yourself. I ask for you to repent, to apologize, and to get back up, and to speak to me in a respectful manner, and then we will address the issues. And I've said this through the scriptures. Come to me so we can reason over our issues. I want to work on a relationship. And I also want to deliver you into the best life you can possibly have, because that's who I am. Amen.